Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker joins us now after what was a very important and emotional morning this morning on Beacon Hill. He signed into law a bill aimed at combating Massachusetts' opioid addiction crisis. Governor Baker, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Hi, good afternoon.
Let me ask you about the bill that you signed into law today. I mean, as I mentioned, and people probably heard, it was kind of an emotional morning for you as well when you were sharing letters that you'd received from students at the North Shore Recovery High School. Can you tell us a little bit more why it was important for you to mention them today?
Well, I think, and several other speakers, including the Attorney General Maura Healey and the Mayor Marty Walsh of Boston, also talked about the fact that a huge part of the momentum around getting this legislation through the process and onto my desk was driven by a lot of the stories and a lot of the heartache that has come from conversations all of us have had with parents and with classmates and coworkers of people who have been dealing with opioid addiction for many years. Mm-hmm. And almost every one of these stories is just gut-wrenching. And they all have many of the same elements, and unfortunately many of them also end with somebody passing away. There are some bright spots here, but it's very clear that we have a lot of work to do, not just here in Massachusetts, but around the country on sort of the prevention and education piece. There's an enormous amount of people just don't know about this stuff.
Yeah.
And on the intervention and the treatment and recovery piece. And we're making progress on that stuff. But one of the things I admire most about this bill is it's pretty comprehensive. It's actually the fourth piece of legislation I've signed since we took office, which was only 14 months ago, mm-hmm. to deal with this issue. But this was by far the most comprehensive, and in some respects has some elements in it that you're just not going to find anywhere else in the country, and I'm enormously proud to have been part of this.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, I mean, before we move into deeper aspects of the bill today, I noticed that there are five recovery high schools in Massachusetts and that last year's budget included more than $3 million for recovery high schools. And $1 million of that to designated for creating at least two more, and you've called for the same in this year's budget too. I mean, it's a terrible thing to have to ask, but do you feel like the state does need more such high schools like North Shore Recovery?
I think the thing that's made those schools successful, and again, I think in that case we actually borrowed that idea from another state. You know, sometimes we come up with the good ideas, and sometimes we find them in other places. But my recollection about this was, when Massachusetts did this originally, it was just to sort of see if it would work and if it would matter. And they turned out to be pretty successful. And you need a whole series of elements to work. You can't just sort of plop one of these down anywhere and expect it to succeed. You need to have a really motivated collection of adults and educators who really want to invest in this in the proper way. And I don't mean money invest. I mean, you know, understand what you need to do with respect to structure and the way they operate and sort of best practices and all the rest, and then have the endurance to see it through and make it work. And there's no question, having read those letters and also having talked to kids who've gone to some of these schools, that they're incredibly powerful because they give many of the young men and women who attend them this sense of not just community, but also sort of comradeship, you know, mm-hmm. that you're not in this by yourself. And one of the big things you hear from a lot of the people who are dealing, especially with heroin and opioid addiction, is they really do feel trapped and alone.
Yeah.
And these schools are a wonderful way to create sort of an emotional wrap around these kids that both they and the people who work there are all working to help these kids
right.
find their way back.
Well,
and
Governor
that's
Baker,
what made them successful.
Forgive me for interrupting you, but we're kind of running down on time here, and I wanted to ask you a couple specific questions about the bill that you signed today, because as you said, you're right. It is a pretty all-encompassing bill covering treatment and prescriptions, et cetera. But in certain ways, you didn't get 100% of what you wanted. For example, regarding first-time opioid prescriptions, you wanted it to be limited to a three-day limit, turns out to be 7 days. There's also not the provision to hold folks for 72 hours
yep.
in hospitals involuntarily. I'm just wondering that, you know, you've signed this bill today. Are you going to push for those aspects that you didn't get perhaps in future legislation?
Well, with respect to the 72-hour call for first prescriptions, and I'm separating acute pain from chronic pain, and I think everybody gets that, they should be treated differently. We were going with the CDC recommendation. 7 days is a big improvement over giving people 30-day supplies for wisdom teeth and stuff like that, which was pretty standard practice. And I'm hoping that the 7-day limitation on first prescriptions can become kind of a market standard. And I obviously am excited about the fact that we got our dental schools and our medical schools to agree to start incorporating pain management and addiction management into their core curriculums, because most people who graduate from medical school and dental school actually don't have to take a course in pain management or addiction, which has clearly been one of our problems. As far as the 72-hour piece is concerned, I got the fact from the beginning that that was a controversial measure, but I had heard enough from first responders and emergency room physicians and others that a lot of the folks who get treated, who come into an ED or an ER or in an ambulance on their way to one, who are basically dead as a result of an overdose, who get sort of shocked back to life by Narcan, which is a life-saving medication, literally blow out of the hospital ED, go right back out on the street, and in many cases are looking for their next fix when the first one they had, even though they're no longer high, their body still has all the chemistry of somebody who had just injected themselves, and it's dangerous.
Right. And Governor Baker, I'm afraid I'm going to have to wrap up there. Sorry to have to cut you off, but we're just fresh out of time. Governor Charlie Baker, we're looking forward to having you back for more comprehensive conversation about all these issues important to national
issues. This one's a big win for the families who've been dealing with this issue for years, and I hope we can make progress in making it better for families going forward.
Governor Charlie Baker, thanks so much. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.